Tonight we're studying the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, handling God's seeming indifference to his people's sins. Habakkuk trusted in the Lord, but he struggled to understand how God, who was good and all-powerful, would function at times seemingly indifferent to the existence of great evil in the world. The book of Habakkuk is thus a theodicy, which is a defense of God's goodness and power in view of the existence of evil. That's a technical, if you ever want to know what that means. Theodicy is a technical phrase for defending God's goodness and power in the midst of existence of evil. Habakkuk 1, 1-11 addressed this problem of God's seeming indifference to the sins of his own people in Judah, but we study for our insight, our application, and our edification as follows. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Habakkuk 1, 1 to 11. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even my cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold, ye among the Gentiles, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told to you. For lo, I raise up the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are also swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn to them. They deride every stronghold, for they shall heap up dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Okay, some of that has to be retranslated to make sense. But anyway, the Hebrew word rendered burden in Habakkuk 1:1 is masah. It's a noun. It's derived from a verb that means to lift up, and hence the meaning of a burden for the noun. This burden was certainly a troubling problem for the prophet because of what the Lord directed him to see of his prophetic visions. The word for see in the King James on Habakkuk 1:1 is hadzah, what often means to see in a prophetic vision. It's used that way in Isaiah 1:1, 2:1, Ezekiel 12:27, Amos 1:1, and Micah 1:1. Now, what God caused Habakkuk to see in his prophetic visions was great evil in his own people in Judah. Habakkuk was so troubled at what God let him see in his visions that he asked the Lord how long would he cry for God's help, but he would not seem to hear or cry out about violence, but God not save. The prophet asked why God made him see iniquity while the Lord seemingly looked idly by at it. For Habakkuk saw destruction and violence right in front of him, strife and contention rising so that the law was paralyzed. Justice never went forth, and the wicked surrounded the righteous, perverting justice. You ever been in that situation? You see wrongs going on, sometimes even wrongs within the body of Christ, and you wonder how long in the world is the Lord going to let that go on? And we can see it, and we often see it in the world, but it's something that is a concern. Well, God responded to his prophet, informing Habakkuk that he was planning to bring the overwhelmingly wicked and cruel Babylonians to attack and punish the wicked people of Judah. That's verses 5 to 11. In response to Habakkuk's presumption that the Lord was not sensitive to the wickedness of Judah, God replied that he had a plan to punish Judah with such a great judgment that Habakkuk would wonder and be astounded that the prophet would not believe in even if he were told. And we have to have lived in his day to understand the intensity of this. The Babylonians were a rough crowd. They weren't as fiercely tortuous as the Assyrians, but they were a rough and a brutal crowd. They were absolutely fearless, and whenever they attacked, they didn't think anybody could beat them, and they acted like it on the battlefield. They just went right at it. And after they conquered people, they just kept going right on to the next city. They never stopped. They were something else. Well, specifically, the Lord informed Habakkuk that he would raise up the Babylonians, a bitter and hasty nation whose army marched through the land, seizing dwellings that were not their own. They didn't care. Anything that was within their power was theirs. What's yours is yours, and what's mine is yours, and what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine, that kind of an attitude. They were dreaded and fearsome, a law to themselves. I think the Babylonians had like blue scarves, whereas the Assyrians had red. But they would deck themselves out to be looking majestic, and they would act like it. Their horses were swift and fierce. Their horsemen pressed on proudly, coming on from afar quickly to devour with great violence and courage men who gathered captives like you'd gather sand. God added that these Babylonian soldiers scoffed at the kings they attacked. They laughed at rulers and every fortress they encountered, for they piled up dirt mounds in order to besiege or bridge the walls of the cities that they defeated and they invaded. These Babylonian soldiers tended to sweep by like the wind and go on to capture other nations, soldiers who were guilty of great sins, but whose own might was their God, since they did not view themselves as being accountable, even to Judah's God. In other words, God was not unaffected by the violence, the sin, the strife, the contention, the lawlessness, and the perversion of justice of his own people of Judah, for he planned to respond to all their sin by bringing a nation against them that was even more violent, more sinful, more given to strife, more contentious, more lawless, more guilty of perverting justice, and even more fearless of Judah's God than the Lord's own sinful people. Now, of course, this is going to create a problem for Habakkuk. He's going to ask, why are you going to do that? But right now, this has a lesson in and of itself. When God's prophet Habakkuk was shown prophetic visions of the great sinfulness of his people in Judah, when God seemed to stand idly by, not dealing with the wickedness, and he complained about it to the Lord, God revealed that he was not only aware of Judah's sin, but that he himself was so concerned that he was about to bring an invading force that was more wicked than the people of Judah to punish his people in great judgment. So in application, may we not think that God is not moved by the evils we see and that concern us, for his attributes are infinite. So he is infinitely more aware and concerned about these evils than we are, and he plans to address them with far more precision and force than we ever would. I'm reminding in the book of Isaiah, I think it's chapter 5 or 8, somewhere in there, where Isaiah sees the Lord high and mighty and lifted up in his train, which would be his the robe that he had. It filled the temple. And the angels were constantly crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." The word holy means separate. And the reason the angels call this out around the clock is the angels see the sin of man. They see the wickedness of man. They see the righteousness of God, which is opposite that. And of course, God's righteousness is infinite. And the angels live in constant tension at this tremendous contrast between the perfect righteousness of God and the terrible wickedness of man. So they're constantly crying out, "Holy, separate, separate is God." And we don't live with that tension, but they do. They're living in the presence of God. And God is not unaware. He's very aware. And he knows all about the wickedness. In fact, he knows a lot more about wickedness than we do. But he plans to address it with far more precision and far more force than we ever would. So, number two, if we are aware of sin in ourselves, may we face it and confess it, lest God, who is far more upset at it than we are, might severely punish us for it. See, if we're aware of sin within us, God's aware of it. And if we recognize that it's bad, God not only recognizes that it's bad, but he's very, very motivated to get that thing dealt with. So we got to be careful. And then number three, may we also relax in realizing that God is very aware of the sins that we see about us, knowing that he will fully address them. I need to remember something like this every time I read the paper. I get the paper on a regular basis, and I utilize the information out of the paper because we use it for sermon material and whatnot. But sometimes I can't even read, you know, even the front page. I have to put it down and think, whoa, I got to digest this and deal with it. And you get into the second page and the third page, it's just, it's amazing. There's a tremendous amount of spiritual need in our world about us, but we have to recognize that God knows all about it, and he plans to address it. He will address it. And when God addresses it, it's perfect. He deals with it with absolute precision and overwhelming judgment. So I think this is an excellent book to get into. The word Habakkuk means embracer. Okay, this is a man of God. He was very sensitive, and he wanted to embrace the Lord and the Lord's righteousness, but he had trouble doing it because he didn't understand God. He didn't understand what God was doing. And God went through the process of revealing himself to Habakkuk. What's neat about this is by the time we get to the last chapter of Habakkuk, you have one of the best and most poetic chapters in all of the Word of God. He breaks out, and he's a very sensitive man, but he breaks out in tremendous praise to God and in tremendous faith in God, that God is going to preserve him and all the godly, even when the Babylonians come. And that's an amazing trust. But I'm looking forward to that chapter, Habakkuk. It's just some of the best words that we have, and the most poetic words in Scripture are there. Marvelous.